Welcome to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is WebSphere Process Server, Human Task Security Staff Resolution Configuration Using VMM versus LDAP. Today's presenter is Narsima Rao Kadadi. Kadadi has been working on Business Process Management Level 2 products since 2008. He works on customer issues on a day-to-day basis. He has seen many customers encountering human task authorization issues and will share this experience in this presentation. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Kadadi.
Thank you, Colleen. As Colleen mentioned, the purpose of today's presentation was that I've seen customers reporting issues with human task authorization, and there's a lot of documentation in the Info Center and in Developer Works articles configuring on how to configure human task authorization and how to connect to a Tivoli directory server or Active Directory server. The information that I found was scattered around in different documents. Colleen, do you want to go to the abstract second slide, please? But what I've noticed is that there is no single point or single document which explains the subtle differences between connecting to an LDAP server directly versus using the WebSphere federated repositories or virtual member manager to connect to a Tivoli directory server. There are some configurations that need to be changed or adapted, and there are some files which need to be modified, and as an administrator, as a WebSphere administrator, some people may or may not know exactly the differences. And what I've seen is working in level two is when we ask for information, there's a lot of confusion because there's the recommended way which IBM suggests is to use a virtual member manager, but some LDAP administrators may not prefer it, and so they would like to connect directly to their LDAP server using the people directory provider. So, Colleen, can you go to the next slide, please? So the way we're going to go about this WSDE, I'm going to show most of the stuff is the screenshots, but I will talk in detail about each screenshot and how the flow occurs from when you configure your human task and when it gets deployed and what happens in runtime when you're actually authorizing a human task. So I'm going to talk about the direct access to an LDAP server, which in our example would be a Tivoli directory server, versus using the WebSphere's built-in virtual member manager / federated repositories. And then I'm going to talk about the troubleshooting tips when you encounter problems. What are the different things that you want to look for? Are there any tools that will help you in finding out the source of the problem? And then I'm going to talk about useful links, if you the developer work articles that, and how to submit a PMR, and what is the trace string that you want. If you're inquisitive enough, you want to look at the traces, what is the trace string that you want to add? Can we go to the next slide, please? Okay, so the first thing is, as a developer, when you go to WID, you need to let WID know, okay, what kind of configuration you're going to use. If you go to your tools and preferences, you would, and your human task tab, you will find that there are four predefined people directory providers. The virtual member manager is more of an encapsulation or a wrapper through which you can connect to multiple Tivoli directory servers, or you could configure or you could use a local file repository. So it's like a wrapper for all of them. The second one is the out-of-the-box LDAP directory configuration, wherein, you know, it has most of the stuff or most of the object classes mapped up, which are used by most LDAP servers. And, you know, when we, in some of the developer works articles, you do see the XML of the LDAP LDAP transformation file. The third one is the user registry, which is sort of like the file registry, wherein your user information, password information can be stored in the file system. And the system configuration, which is like a database where you can store it. Our primary objective for this WSDE, we'll be concentrating on the LDAP and the virtual member manager. Of course, there is a fifth one, which is the everyone configuration, wherein everybody can access every task. Of course, it's not feasible in a production environment. The first thing that you want to do is create a new configuration. So the recommendation from IBM is not to customize the out-of-the-box LDAP configuration file. The reason being that if you were to ever upgrade, so let's say if you are on 6.2 and you upgrade to 7.003 or 004, which is the current version, the file, the LDAP transformation file, gets overwritten. So whatever customization or changes that you have made with respect, I mean, after consulting your LDAP administrator, all those changes would be overwritten. So we would always recommend you, if you are customizing or, you know, if you're using any of the custom stuff, to make a copy of the LDAP configuration file or the LDAP transformation file and create a new JNDI name for it. Can we move to the next slide, please? Okay, so you choose a new one and you provide a new JNDI name, which is a custom one, and you choose LDAP, which is the one in this case. And can we move to the next slide, please? Okay, once you close that, your application will now have access to this newly created people directory provider. So if you create, if you go ahead and create a human task, you know, within inline human task or standalone human task, whichever you prefer one, when you click on the properties of the task or the one next to the name, in the details section, you do see the drop down, and by default, you see the four or five, you know, out of the box drop down configuration parameters. Since you've created a new one, I know the screen is a little, you know, tiny, but this is the best we could get out of a screenshot. You do see the My LDAP configuration, which we created in the previous step within the dropdown. So you're basically telling your application to use the My LDAP configuration JNDI parameter and in turn the file for your staff authorization. Can we move to the next slide, please? So once you know what is the file that you are using for, you know, any mapping between users and groups and all that, then we come to that particular task itself. You click on who is going to be working on the task, who will be the potential users. And in this step, this is pretty standard for whichever way you do it, whether you connect to LDAP directly or whether you use VMM. But the one thing is, if you look at the user ID, this is a tricky part wherein, you know, you have to make sure the value here, the fully qualified path here, matches exactly what is defined in your LDAP server. Again, there are a lot of customizations that can be done, wherein you could edit your LDAP transformation file. And, you know, the LDAP transformation file is more like a Python or a Perl scripting information file, wherein you can add a prefix, you can add suffixes, or, you know, I mean, you can add stuff to the end of it. So in this particular example, when you have CN equal to order 1, OU equal to PE, you can actually not have the onus on the developer, and you could tell the developer, hey, you know, you don't have to put the fully qualified name, just put in order 1. So the developer will just put user ID equal to order 1, but then you could go into your LDAP transformation file, and within your users by user ID, you could do the appending of your PN, and let's say, you know, you want to be flexible enough wherein you want to add different organizations or different countries in the future, you don't have to modify the application. You just modify the LDAP transformation file, and everything is transparent to the developer. So the LDAP transformation file gives you a lot of flexibility, but at the same time, it adds a little bit complexity in that, you know, if you don't, the default one does not append anything. So it's a straightforward mapping between the value that you provide in WID to the value or to the fully qualified name that's on your LDAP server. Can we move to the next slide, please? Okay, so the location of your LDAP transformation file would be within your process server install directory and the process choreographer and staff folder. So you make a copy of your LDAP transformation file, and, you know, as you can see, there is in this case, we made a copy of exactly the same thing. It's 42 KB. And I'm calling it my LDAP transformation file. Now, you know, the other developer work articles and InfoCenter has more information about each entry within the LDAP transformation file, and the InfoCenter has information on how to adapt it. But in this WST, we'll be concentrating more on the differences between the two routes of configuring human task authorization. So again, make a copy of the LDAP transformation.xsl file, and, you know, and we'll see how this file gets utilized. Can we move to the next slide, please? Okay, so much for the changes in WID. Once you are done with your human task, you save it, and you know, your human task now knows to use the My LDAP configuration, which in turn uses the JNDI name, and which in turn uses the LDAP, my LDAP transformation.xsl file. Now, how does the runtime know about this particular file, right? So you go into your admin console, and, you know, you pick your server, and you go into your people directory provider. So resources, as you can see, there's resources tab, and within the resources tab, there is the people directory provider. And these are some changes between when you configure connecting to LDAP directly versus using VMM. So here, there is one entry for LDAP, one for VMM, one for user registry, and one for system people directory provider. Can we move to the next slide, please? Okay, as you can see right now, I've already created an entry for my LDAP configuration. Basically, the way if by default you would have only one, the LDAP people directory configuration and the JNDI name, as you can see, the sample LDAP configuration, and the transformation file is the process choreographer staff LDAP transformation. So in this tab, when you click on Create New, can we go to the next slide, please? Then you can actually browse the file system. In this case, because I have it on a local file, if it's a remote node, as long as the node is running, you can pick the transformation file on the remote node. So you choose the particular transformation file, which we did create a copy in the previous step. As you can see, I had another copy of a GA5 LDAP transformation XSL file. So you can choose the one in this case, which is the my LDAP transformation file. And I'm choosing that file for my mapping user LDAP class mapping. Can we move to the next slide, please? And when you go to the next tab, you see the information, and here's where you provide the information, the name, and the unique JNDI name. Again, the JNDI name that you provide here has to match with the name that you had given in WID. Otherwise, during deployment time, your app will not deploy because it will not be able to find this particular JNDI name. And so what we currently have is we have the human task, we have the fully qualified name, we have the mapping between the users, the groups, the managers, or however, all the LDAP good stuff. But we haven't yet provided information on where the LDAP server is residing and how to authenticate and get information to that LDAP server. And so what we do in this step is go to Custom Properties. Can we go to the next slide, please? And within the Custom Properties, you have information on how to connect to that LDAP server. Now, unfortunately, the screen has been cut out here, but if you actually were to look at the full screen, you will see the server name, the port number, everything by default is local, you know, and 389, which is the default Tivoli port. But if you were to choose an LDAP server or your Microsoft Active Directory server, in this case, you know, you would create a new authentication alias which your LDAP administrator would provide you. And, you know, you give the base DN and the bind distinguished name so you can actually connect to the LDAP server, and you are giving information on which base tree to connect to using this authentication alias. And there's some other information in there, which is, you know, depending on your LDAP server, may or may not be mandatory. So this information will help out in connecting to that LDAP server. As you can see, you know, you're basically providing the transformation information, LDAP transformation file, and in the runtime, you're using the JNDI name, and you're connecting to that LDAP server. If we move to the next slide, please. Okay, so once you deploy that at runtime, you know, during deployment time of the application, if you look at the runtime value, you can actually, if you enable tracing, you can actually see the information, the group ID or the user ID that gets deployed during the deployment. As you can see, the JNDI name, if you search for this particular get deployed staff query, and this is during deployment time strictly, right? You can actually see the JNDI name, and as you can see, the group ID that in this case, which I provided, was order MGR OU equal to P. In my case, I removed the information, the organization and the country and all that stuff when I deployed it to see if I can see the results in the trace file. But this would, you know, this would actually help in figuring out what has been deployed to the server. Now, let's say, you know, your LDAP server were to return with errors. The first thing that you want to search is, you could use a tool called LDAP search, and if you Google, you'll find a lot of information about the LDAP search. It's a standalone tool. And, you know, using LDAP search, you can actually provide information, the same group ID or the user ID that you have configured in your task, and it will validate and come back and say who are the users that are returning or who are the, you know, people that are authorized to work on that task. It will also come back and say if that particular syntax or the fully qualified name is valid or not. If we move to the next slide, please, you can actually see the errors that are coming from LDAP server. Again, using the same trace string that I mentioned in the previous page, you can actually see the server that it's connecting to and, you know, the authorization that was provided and, you know, whether the connection to LDAP was successful or not. And if the LDAP server does in turn return some errors, you can see the errors, you know, very nicely put in the trace. And, you know, the LDAP object not found in this case is one of the errors. In some other cases, you know, let me see. If we go to the next page, I have some other. Can we go to the next page, please? So if your connectivity is not valid, you know, let's say your authentication alias that you provided was not valid or does not have any authorization, then you would see the error in the trace. If some of them could be warnings, as you can see, you know, if the LDAP server, if the user, or if the user does not have a preferred language set, you would actually get a warning back. But most of the time, you should be able to see the errors. If there are no errors, you should be able to see the successful response back from the LDAP server. I actually had a slide, but I would try to update it later on. The flow which describes from the beginning, during the deployment time. In other words, we are going from, let me just make sure I describe it verbally. So in WID, you configured your My LDAP configuration, and then you're providing the absolute path for the authorization, so your CN equal to whatever, and if you haven't done it, then you're configuring it via your My LDAP transformation file, and that gets deployed, or, you know, when you create your ear, all that information is captured, and within admin console, you're choosing your people directory provider, and you're mapping that to the transformation file. And within your custom properties, you're saying which server to connect to, which IP and the port and all that stuff. And then, you know, at runtime, you're looking at the results. So the flow works that way. You know, and this is if you're connecting to the LDAP server directly. Let me see if I've covered everything. Again, you know, there's a whole lot of information if you are trying to customize the LDAP transformation file. And if you're trying to, you know, the samples out there, of course, you know, the basic samples out there. But the bottom line is, you know, you can actually look at the results and, you know, the default LDAP transformation file does not append anything, so you have to make sure that you give the fully qualified DN when you're within your human task if you're connecting to LDAP directly. Okay, this concludes the first part. Now, if we go to the next slide, please. Now, the VMM-based authentication. Now, within WID, you know, the configuration, you know, whatever we spoke about, there are five kinds. You know, there's the VMM, which is the encapsulation. So if you are using VMM-based authorization, instead of authentication, of course, I want to say authorization, then what you want to do is in the first scenario, we chose my LDAP configuration. But if you are using VMM-based authorization, then you are saying, okay, you know, you click on Tools Preferences and you choose Virtual Member Manager as your, configuration. Now, the same Tivoli directory server that we connected before, if you remember, we had to go through the people directory provider resources, and we had to give the information using the custom properties and all whatnot, right? Now, the preferred way, you know, which we would recommend, is to go to your Federate Global Security within Admin Console, and you do a one-time configuration. So you go to Global Security, and you pick on the Realms, R-E-A-L-M. You choose the default is the, you know, file-based realm, which comes with WebSphere. So you add a new repository. So if you can see the screen, I'm saying O equal to TDS LDAP, and I'm giving the host name, which is the same host that we connected before, and a port number, and the bind DN, and the login information, and all the most of these are defaults because you know the Tivoli directory server that I'm connecting to is not one of the most secure ones. But this is where you connect. You configure how to connect your Tivoli directory server, and the advantage is using this route. I'll show you. Can we go to the next slide, please? Okay, so within your WebSphere admin console, if you go into users, once you configure the Tivoli, once you configure your federated repositories and you add your Tivoli directory server to the realm, you're basically saying, okay, I have access to your Tivoli directory server to whichever tree that the bind distinguished name is authorized. And from there on, you can go to your WebSphere users and groups, and you should be able to see all the users from the Tivoli directory server. Now, bear in mind, you could be connecting to multiple Tivoli directory servers, or, you know, you could be connecting to a single one. So if you look at the entries here, the unique name for order processors, you see CN equal to order processors, OU equal to PE, O equal to IBM, C equal to US. So basically, this is from my TDS, Tivoli directory server, whereas the first and the third and the other entries are from the default Vim file-based realm. So in other words, all the groups, you can actually validate everything right here. So instead of searching, you know, instead of running LDAP search and all that information, you could actually validate any entry that you provide in WID. You can validate, you can give the unique name directly from your users and groups. So it makes maintaining everything very easy, and configuration part is very easy too. Can we move to the next slide, please? Okay, so this, again, you know, this is how you configured your VMM-based authenticate authorization. So you add a new entry, and, you know, this is the final step in that place. The sequence of these two slides should have been the other way around. But, again, you know, you guys get the message. It's so once you add this repository to the existing repository set, you should be able to see all the users and groups. Now, there are some tricks. You know, you want to make sure that the user information is not dynamic. So, you know, during the deployment time, you have to ensure that you do refresh the staff queries, you know, periodically, either using a batch job or manually. And that you could, you know, you can go into your human task runtime information and refresh it. But we'll leave that for another day. So the most important part is the configuration, which I wanted to concentrate on. So, you know, if you're using the VMM-based authorization, you're actually going to your global security and configuring it. So you're not going to use the people directory information. And whatever unique name that you find in the users and groups in your admin console, that is the information that you provide to your human task in WID during configuration time. Whereas in the other case, when we were connecting to the LDAP server directly, we would give the fully qualified name as seen in the Tivoli directory server. So that you know, might be a little tricky. And, you know, if you have to search, you have to go in and run LDAP search and commands like that. Can we move to the next slide, please? Some tips and tricks when you're using WebSphere, or, you know, Virtual Member Manager or Federated Repositories, however you want to do it, however you want to call it. Again, the same story. You know, you do see, if you enable the task, the tracing, you do see during deployment time what is going in, what is the JNDI name that is being used. So if you accidentally chose the wrong one, you should be able to see it right here. And you should be able to see the group ID that was deployed. And let me see, is there anything else in here? And the tracing itself is a lot more user-friendly with the Tivoli directory, with the WebSphere member manager than the first route, because, you know, we're depending on the TDS to make sure, you know, it throws back an error and we capture it in the right way. Whereas with VMM, it's more of, you know, WebSphere built in, so it does capture all the errors. If we move to the next slide, please. You should be able to see the results in XML format, which is kind of nice. So if you're searching for a particular group, you do see that, you know, in this case, the test users, you know, example one, whatnot. So you should be able to see the responses in a very nicely organized format. And, the keyword, again, is do VMM get. If you search for do VMM get, because we are using VMM, you should be able to see the responses that are coming back. So to summarize, if we were to use the VMM, and again, the with Virtual Member Manager, you can customize it. Again, there's a whole bunch of customization that you can do. You can add custom verbs and the developer work articles that are provided at the end of this PDF file. You should be seeing some, and you know, there's a lot of information on how to customize it, and even the Info Center has information. So if we were to use the VMM-based authorization, you have your WID, and the first step was we chose, within preferences, we chose VMM configuration, which in turn would use the VMM transformation XML file. And, you know, your human task, when you configure it, you are giving the path as seen in the admin console, and not the fully qualified path on your LDAP server. And in runtime, you're configuring it in the federated repositories. You're adding a new realm, right? We're not going to people directory, server, people directory providers or anything. We're doing it one-time configuration in our global security, and we're providing the information of the IP and the password, the distinguished name for the LDAP server, and, you know, checking the runtime traces to see what was sent and what came back. So that explains the differences between these two. And again, there's a whole bunch of information on developer work website, and you know, there's a whole lot of tech notes and tech docs that are there, which give you information on customizing each one. But again, the objective of this WST was to make sure that you know you understand how when you choose a particular way of authorization, how the flow works. Can we go to the next page, please? Okay, so the links here, I would highly encourage you guys to look at each one, and you will see the information that I spoke about and how to customize and all that. And again, there's a lot of information in the Developer Works articles, which is, again, you know, very useful. And can we go to the next slide, please? And additional resources, if you, you know, about WSTs in general, and demos and EDU assist. And we would highly encourage you guys to look at the show me demos and tutorials. We're planning to add some, even the one that I spoke today, to the assist info, so you can, you know, look at the step-by-step configuration. I don't have a timeline yet, but I'm pretty sure I'll try to put it in there. Notifications, and let's see. If you were to ever submit a service request, now you know what to look for. Obviously, the tracing that I provided would be very useful. And the last slide, was there a last slide? Or okay. So now we go to Q&A. Colleen, you want to take over?
Yes, thank you, Kadadi, for a great presentation. At this point, Marcella, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We have a question from Abu Zahir. Your line is open.
This is Abu Zahir from Home Depot. I have a question which is directly related to BPM IBM. And actually, we are using the federated using VMM, using the federated repository. So I have a question, like if you use federated, and will it allow both authentication, internal authentication, which IBM BPM provides, as well as the LDAP authentication? I mean, both in conjunctions. If that is the case, then if the same user exists in both internal as well as LDAP, how will it handle? Thank you.
That's a good question. Colleen, can you go to 18? I think it was slide 18. Pretty sure slide 18. So, Abu, if you look at this, you know, I'm assuming I understood the question right. So let's say you had the same group name order processors within your local default Vim file-based realm, or another, you know, let's say your federated repository is what's configured to talk to multiple Tivoli directory servers. What you see, if you look at the unique name, even though it's called order processors, let's say there was another order processors in my default file Vim-based, you know, default Vim file-based realm. The unique path would be different for each one, or the unique name would be different for each one. So even though it would be CN equal to order processors and OU equal to P, you might actually say the end is O equal to default Vim file-based realm, or in the other case, it could be O equal to TDS LDAP, however you want to define it.
My question is slightly different. Actually, I'm familiar with the BPM IBM.
The 7.5 version?
Yes, 7.5.
I'm not, you know, I haven't worked much on that.
The question was actually in BPM, you don't need to authenticate using LDAP.
Okay.
BPM has its own authentication, internal authentication, which is not tied with LDAP. And also, you can have it authenticated through LDAP using federated. So in the federated, my understanding is like if you're using federated, you can have LDAP authentication as well as the internal authentication. You can use both at the same time.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with the 7.5 product set. But in this case, if I were to draw an analogy, I would say, you know, that's the closest thing. You know, the default whatever authentication that we do provide, which is the O equal to default WIM file-based realm, I could have an order process in there, a group name, but then I could still uniquely identify it by saying CN equal to order process, O equal to default WIM file-based realm. But I don't know if that's applicable in 7.5.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Sure.
Next, we have a question from Murugan G. Your line is open.
Yeah, actually, Kodati.
Yeah.
When you look into the staff folder, I can see the LDAP transformation file and the BMM transformation file.
Okay.
Could you tell me what is the difference? Actually, we are using BMM transformation file to authenticating with the LDAP.
Okay.
But just I want to know what is the differences.
So if you are using the VMM transformation file, and you know one of the developer works articles that I was mentioning, you open, you know, there's a whole bunch of XML tags in there. So you're basically mapping all the users and group object classes. You know, your e-person, your inet org person, and all that stuff. To your CN, you know, your attributes, your UIDs and CN. So the default VMM transformation file would have all the entries that correspond in your LDAP transformation file. So you should be, you know, you should still be able to see all your groups, you know, group of unique names and group of names and stuff like that. Now, I am not 100% familiar with the LDAP transformation file except I've seen some, you know, again, transformations where they customized it. But, again, the VMM transformation file, you could do customization too. So in your case, let me see. So you're asking what is the difference or how is it configured between the VMM transformation to the LDAP transformation file? Or
yeah. Is there any significant differences between these, actually?
There should be. There should be a lot. But the entries in there are different. The formats are different because the VMM transformation file is more WebSphere catered, and the LDAP transformation is more, you know, LDAP catered.
So I have one more simple question, actually. In a VMM configuration, I have assigned a task to an LDAP group, okay? So just assigned to LDAP group. So if I wanted to assign one more person who is not in the group, part of group, or I wanted to remove a person from a group and dynamically, is there any way to do that?
Yes, there is. And again, you know, the going back to that article from Pratima, I think if you look at you do see, you know, how to customize by adding a new verb wherein you're saying group minus a particular user. You can, you know, there's a very nice example which talks about how you can do it. It gives a very, you know, the example itself gives what to configure and, you know, for exactly what you're trying to achieve.
Where can we have that example, actually? I'm sorry, I don't have
it. It is in the, if you look at the links in there, at the end of the page, the developer works articles. Colleen, can you go to the last, the useful links page, which is 19? Yeah. The second article that I'm talking about, and if you go in, you should be able to see group members without named users. In other words, you have a group and you don't want a particular person to be not authorized, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you should be able to achieve it, yeah. And again, there's a whole bunch of customization that you can do. You know, again, custom verbs, whatnot. But again, you know, there's it has to, you have to review the whole file, make sure you understand each tag and what it means and all that before you do it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Sure.
We have another question from Murugan. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi, this is Bala.
Yeah, hi, Bala.
We are doing a federated repository with the database SQL Server.
Okay.
So when we try to, we can try to create the users from the admin console to the directly to the database.
Well, I don't know if it allows you to write stuff. I know it's mostly used for retrieving information, and you know, again, I've worked mostly with the file registry and the Tivoli directory server. I know Tivoli directory server, you cannot create entries from the admin console. You can retrieve entries, but your file-based one, you can actually write. I mean, it's, of course, it has zero authentication, right?
We got the article of a particular developer works article. According to that article, they configured with some federated configuration with some AD and normal default file based, and
okay.
Again with the server database level. So they are able to create the user.
They are able to, okay. Yeah, again, I mean, it. I've never tried it, and, you know, the one Tivoli directory server that I had, I tried to write to it. It didn't allow me to. It said, you know, you're not authorized or something, but I know I was logged in as root, and, you know, I figured that's probably a limitation that, you know, the admin, the federated repositories won't let you write to it. But I guess not, so learn something new every day.
Okay, and one more thing. When we federated with the Microsoft Active Directory, I have a default user called as admin. When I integrated with the Active Directory, I created some user called as A as a primary administrative user.
Okay.
So when I restart everything, server and everything is working fine, but I'm getting some log like the role-based authentication is not assigned to a particular role, like auditor, administrator, or something. It is coming.
So do you have both the realms active, or is it only you? You chose only the newly created Active Directory as
the BIM file based really.
Both are active?
Yeah, both are active.
I think I've seen something like that, and yeah, I mean, you probably within your admin console, you probably have to configure wherein you have to add your newly created user or the admin user in Active Directory as part of the admins or, you know, something like that. But,
yes,
again...
That will be part of a primary administrator user.
Right. And when you tried to add it, you were getting errors? Is that what it is?
Yeah, not errors. It's a repeating log coming in the console. Not able to stop that thing.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a bug, I guess. So, you know, we have a whole WebSphere security team whose day job is specialization in VMM. They might be able to help out, you know, because it looks like something which is probably a configuration. It could be a bug, but they might be able to help out on how to achieve that. I saw some error like that too, but... you know, again, it's probably, I don't know exactly what that could mean.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
At this time, we have no one else queued up with a question on the audio lines.
Thank you. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Kodaki, for presenting today.
Thanks a lot, Colleen. Thanks, guys.